Know what to eat, but find yourself not eating it. Perhaps you've been on diets and off again, and just wonder why you can't stick to them. The Eating For You podcast, hosted by me, Sally Ann Pisk, will show you what's been missing so you can enjoy a healthier way of eating that lasts. Hi, Sally Ann with you today, and it's my pleasure to welcome back our fitness expert, Angela Mills.
Hello, and thank you for having me. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm really well, thanks, Angela. Okay. You know, we're sort of moving towards the end of the year and excited. Yes. I'm one of those people that actually does like to set New Year's resolutions. And don't get me wrong, I set little goals and, yeah, you know, things all through the year. But for me, getting to the end of the year, it is like a natural end and it's like a new beginning going into the new year. So I'm always excited by that.
Yes, I'm here. And also because you often you have a break from your usual routine at this time of year, it's a good time to, I guess, reflect and plan. And
Right.
I'm a bit with you, Sally Ann.
Anyway, I do enjoy it. Today, we've got a really exciting topic and I know it's something ladies in my community are interested, and it is a topic that is often, unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, not unusually, because that is the case in health, misrepresented in, you know, popular media. And today I'm really looking forward to talking with you, Angela, about metabolism. And, you know, at this episode, we'll focus more on what we can do from an exercise point of view to boost our metabolism and maintain a healthy metabolism. So we'll get underway.
Okay, I think we should probably start by attempted a definition of what metabolism is without getting too
complicated.
Okay, so essentially we'll say our metabolism is, I guess, the rate at which our body uses up energy. You know, you could argue it's the way we use calories up,
yes,
and so on. And we're all very, very unique, and so we're all going to be very different in terms of how that happens, at what rate it happens to our bodies, and as well as genetics, our age, our body composition, our lifestyles all have factors. You know, some of them we can control, others we can't.
Yeah, no, and I think that's really important because, you know, just in preparing for our podcast and a future podcast we're going to be doing as well, just looking on, you know, Dr. Google, there's some pretty outlandish, you know, things said about metabolism and what we can do to boost metabolism and how long it takes to restore metabolism. So,
And it's also one of those things that it's very hard for us to measure. We usually get the signs which, you know, imply to us that either our metabolism is fast or slow. And it's often when we do changes to our lifestyle that we actually start to sort of impact on, you know, what our metabolism is. Probably it's worth mentioning at this point, though, that surprised me quite a lot when I first started learning about metabolism, you know, when I was doing my fitness training, is that probably something like 60 to 70, 80% of our metabolism is actually used up by doing just basic physiological functions. So without us even lifting a finger, we're actually burning calories. And that's because, you know, our heart has to keep pumping. Our lungs are filling up with air and emptying. So we're using lots of muscles to do that. Again, that all burns calories, that sort of thing. Our digestive system is actually working. Our nervous system is working. Our endocrine system is working. Our whole body is actually constantly burning calories just to keep us alive.
Yes.
And then it comes as, well, what can we do to both impact this and also then to impact the other, say, 25 or 30% of potential calories that we could be burning or energy that we can be expending.
Yes.
So it's a very hard thing to quantify.
Yes.
You know, to start off with. So what we do is a very, very much a best guess with a lot of this stuff. But having said that, there's a lot that we do know, you know, from science, from lab experiments that have been done on people, which may or may not, you know, tie in directly with us as individuals, but at least gives us a guidance in terms of what we can and can't do.
Yes.
Now, you are going to talk about types of food and things like that in another episode. So what I'll do is focus on the, I guess, the movement part of it. And just firstly start by just saying regular exercise. You know, even if we're doing something that's structured, you know, sort of say 3 hours a week, that'll actually help our metabolism because it's a regular thing that our body has come to expect and our body responds to without too much trauma because it's part of a routine. And again, depending on the type of exercise we're doing, whether it's something that's very high energy or it's something that's a bit gentler, both of them will have positive impact on our metabolism. But obviously, I guess the more we can actually raise our heart rate, the more we can get that pump, you know, that blood pumping through our body, the higher the impact is going to be on energy expenditure in our body as well. Things we just need to be aware of, though, is that we all respond very differently to exercise, and sometimes exercise can work for or against us as well. So I will go into that a little bit more as well. Okay, so we'll come back to that. Just before we go into that, though, it probably just as important as that is looking at what our incidental movement is in our days. And that's really just the sort of exercise that you all move. Sorry, let's not say exercise. It's that movement. Sorry, I nearly said that exercise word more than I needed to. But it's the movement that we do when we're not exercising. There's some evidence that has shown studies of people, you know, taking two people, one that is a person that is a bit of a fidgeter because of their work or not, they move a lot, they're up and down, they're moving from one place to the other, there's a lot of walking in their day, just incidental stuff, not necessarily going out for a walk or anything. And then comparing that person with someone who's stuck at a desk for much of their day, goes home, watches TV, but will turn up to the gym on a Saturday morning and do a good 2 hours of heavy, you know, trying to play catch up on their week. And when you look at the energy expenditure of these two individuals, it's the person that actually doesn't do the structured exercise, the person that's just moving a bit more on a day-to-day basis, that's actually got a much higher metabolism, is burning more calories and therefore probably more likely to be at a healthy weight because of it, because the fact that they've just got much more of a routine in their day-to-day life where they're moving a lot as well, as opposed to being stuck at it, you know, which, look, many of us are, you know, many people are stuck. But finding those opportunities in every day, even in every hour, to just get up and move is going to help raise your metabolism a lot more than just doing that binge exercise thing once a week or twice a week.
No, and I think it just reinforces to me that, you know, movement needs to be part of our life, not something that we necessarily have to schedule in all the time.
That's right.
And as we've talked before on other episodes, that when we move, we enjoy it. You know, it's so important.
That's right. And the thing is, and coming back to it, well, what are the benefits of having that high metabolism? Well, I mean, I guess the weight management side of it is obviously going to be the one that rings the most bells for many people. Because let's face it, the less calories our body needs, just basic functions are taking up a lot of it, is quite good, because it means that we don't have to deprive ourselves as well.
No.
But it helps in many other levels, in that if we've got a healthy body that's got a healthy metabolism, we're going to have higher energy levels.
Yes.
We're going to be utilizing nutrients much better when we are eating food as well. Our body's going to metabolize it better. We're going to be able to maintain muscle mass. And that's why strength training is so important, because if you're building muscle in your body then has to expend energy to maintain those muscles. It has to feed them, to keep them. So even while you're sleeping, your basic, you know, energy expenditure is going to be much higher if you're a person that's carrying some good muscle mass as opposed to someone who doesn't as well. You're going to have much, you know, better cardiovascular health because you've got a much healthier a system as well. Your hormones are going to be much more regulated as well because you're pumping these chemicals through your body a lot better, a lot faster. You're going to be more, you're going to have better sensitivity to insulin as well. So there's lots of these longer term health benefits as well that come out of just getting your body, you know, just moving a lot more.
And I think, you know, especially for many of our ladies either approaching or, you know, having come through menopause, you know, that in itself challenges us with our lean body mass. It challenges with our hormones. You know, many women complain about, you know, feeling tired, you know, not wanting to move. And just remembering that mindful movement, any movement, is going to be beneficial, which is what I loved what you shared before. But just before we started recording, Angela, we were talking about the best type of, you know, exercise or structured movement, but then it can fit into incidental, as we were talking, is that high intensity interval training.
So there's been a lot of talk of, especially over the last decade or so, about high intensity interval training, which many people will have heard of as HIIT. So what that essentially, high intensity, meaning you're working at a high intensity and it's interval. So you're doing exercise, then you're having a break, and then you're going again. So it's very much, you know, like work really, really hard, you know, get your heart rate right up, and then have a total break. So you're not doing anything. You're just giving your body a chance to just totally normalize back to, you know, your basic heart rate and the rest of it, and then going hard again and doing it again. And there's a lot of evidence that supports this as being a great way of increasing your metabolic rate. And also what it does, and a big part of it is because you're actually, think of it as this way. So if you're going really, really hard with exercise, at some level, you're actually on a tear, you know, having little micro tears in your muscles. You're terrorizing your body. It feels like it too, doesn't it, at times? lives. Then the body has to repair itself. And in the process of repairing itself, it builds it back stronger. You're actually burning more calories to do that as well. Yes. And that's where a lot of these benefits are, you know, in terms of increasing your metabolic rate.
But as we were talking to you, you don't necessarily have to go to a fitness class to do this, because, you know, we were talking about, you know, taking the stairs or walking up a hill increases intensity of movement, or running for the bus, or too often I have to run to my horse's water trough and turn off the tap because
there'll be something, or you think you've left the stove on and you're doing that mad rash through the house to try and turn it off. So there'll be little incidental things that we do, or as part of your route of walking home from work, there's that hill, you know, that you can't get around, you have to go up, and you'll notice that your heart rate goes up when you do that, and then it comes back down again when you get over the other side of it and you're going back down a hill again. So there's lots of incidental ways, you know, or even when you're gardening and you've just found that stubborn root that you've just got to really, you know, you really have to put a lot of power and energy into it to get it out, and you'll feel that your heart rate's come up and you almost have to have a break before you can get back to getting, you know, onto the rest of it. So there's lots of incidental ways of doing it, and that's great, because the more of we can do this sort of thing in our day, and also taking opportunities, you know, to actually do get our heart rate up in small ways, you know, take the route that involves that hill.
All the steps.
Yeah, take the step. Yeah, the steps. You know, we often hear your health advice saying take the steps up to, if you're living or working in a multi-story building, take the steps, because that's gold, you know, that opportunity to just do that incidental exercise.
That's the exact word I was thinking about. Yes. You know, it's like gold. I'm all for, you know, finding the treasure with the easiest way of doing it. If it means it's taking the stairs, do it.
Absolutely.
But there's also a downsize, isn't there?
Yes, in fact, you just took the words out of my mouth, because you're so preemptive. Look, and that's one thing that I always tell a lot of people as well. There's two aspects to this. The first one is that, let's say, you know, a typical HIIT workout might be something, you know, in a gym setting where you're working as hard as you can for 20 seconds, and then you take a 10-second or a 20-second break, however long it takes to get your heart back down, and then you go really hard for 26 and back down again. And that's great if you've got a very good base level of fitness and you've got good movement patterns, so you can afford to go really hard on exercise knowing that you're doing it with correct form and that you're not going to hurt yourself, you know. Whereas if you're starting and you've already got, you know, you may be injured or recovering from an injury, you've got a dodgy shoulder, and you're going really hard and just churning those push-outs out or whatever it is, there's every chance you're going to hurt yourself with this type of workout. So you need, and it's a catch 22, because then if you're slowing down to make sure that you don't hurt yourself, then you're not going that hard.
Yes.
So you're not getting the true clinical benefits of that type of structured workout. So I would say then, based on that, well, is it really the best type of exercise for many people? And is it the, you know, and are we better off doing something a bit different where we're trying to mimic a little bit of that, but not to that extreme level as well? So having an element of just saying, you know what, I want to build my fitness to the point where I can do this type of workout is great. And many people get there. Many of us may decide, you know what, given my injuries and where I am at, I may not even get there. Now, that's absolutely fine. The other thing also to keep in mind is that this is another type of stress on the body. Now, stress can be good for the body, as we know, because it triggers you to raise your heart rate and do all these things. But what if you're going through menopause and you already have a lot of stress in your life? You're not sleeping well, you're having hot flushes, you've got brain fog, you've got kids screaming, deadlines at work, and you're at a high level of anxiety, your cortisol levels are through the roof. What you need is something to calm you down. Adding more stress to your body is just going to raise your cortisol levels even more. So this, in that situation, this is not going to assist your metabolic rate. It's just going to make you feel even worse in your own skin. So that's why an element of just having that mindfulness about what your body is needing, what your body is asking for, is very, very important. Look, and you could argue that the body's never going to ask you to go really, really hard, because we have a natural disposition to not working too hard. But you know, I think it's very much a thing where you have to weigh the benefits, you know, and just really try to work towards a place where your body's got that element of just balance, your body will respond positively to this.
And I think too, Angela, you know, that sort of raises the question about, well, how mindful am I of my body? How confident am I of actually tuning in to what my body needs? And I was reading something the other day and I thought, yes, I was always thankful that I had become a practitioner of mindfulness before perimenopause, because I could tune into my body and say, well, I need to rest today. Mm-hmm. I need to go for a strenuous bushwalk today. Mm. I need to do some meditation today. I could tune into that. So, and everyone can, but it's having that guidance, you know, to be able to do that. So if you're listening so far and thinking, yeah, I'd like to be able to tune in to my body a bit more, then by all means, join me in a free 15-minute call, and I'll leave the link with this episode's notes. And if I'm not the best person to, you know, guide you with that journey, then I'll certainly refer you on. But don't feel that you have to know what your body's telling you if you're not in that practice of knowing your body at the moment. Mm-hmm. Certainly, Angela is a wonderful mindfulness practitioner from a movement point of view as well, but not all of your trainers will be.
Yes. A lot of evidence too that says, especially when it comes to menopause, women that have an awareness that menopause is coming up actually experience a much easier menopause than women that aren't aware, you know, because and for many of us, you know, our mothers didn't prepare us for it. And thankfully, that I think that's changing a lot. Yes. You know, there's a lot more talk about it now than there would have been in our parents' generation. So many women are aware that this is, as soon as they hit 40, they know that this is around the corner.
Yes.
And learning to have that mindfulness, even in terms of looking out for symptoms,
yes,
it kind of, you almost have an element of like, oh, I know what that is because this must be part of menopause, as opposed to, oh my God, what's happening to my body?
That's the shock.
And that in itself, you know, sort of self-perpetuates the
cortisol
issue.
Cortisol
levels and the rest of it, which sets you up to have a much harder time as well. Yeah. So again, like you say, it comes back to mindfulness, what your body needs, but also just experiencing what your body is going through as well. Mm. Like, oh, that's a bit unusual. I'm not sleeping as well.
That's right.
What can I do to, you know, before it becomes a major issue? Yeah, just that's having that, you know, just that that opportunity to just really start to be aware of changes when they're starting to happen.
And really, if we can be mindful, whether it's transitioning through menopause or it's transitioning through retirement, whatever the transition is just being mindful of that deviation from your health balance, whatever that means for you. Yes. You know, when you feel well, when you feel strong, when you feel, it's morning, isn't that fantastic? You will know when you're not quite at that level, and making those small adjustments to eating, sleeping, movement, so important.
Absolutely. So I guess coming back to our metabolism, I guess the key takeouts from an exercise perspective or movement perspective is try and incorporate as much movement into day-to-day life. Just getting up, moving around as much as you can on a day-to-day basis is going to be one of the best things you can do to increase the rate of your metabolism in your body. Trying to do some regular exercise where you can is always going to help you with that as well. Incorporate some strength training, because that builds the foundation for, you know, muscle, which then gives your body something else to feed.
That's right.
which means you're going to burn more calories doing it.
And that has so many other benefits.
Oh,
it helps
absolutely.
With your, you know, your bone strength, your balance, everything.
Your posture, you know, everything. Yes, absolutely as well. So, and that, and that way it really just does assist to just keep your whole body holistically just ticking over much, much better.
Yeah. Definitely. And we spoke about this a little bit last week, Angela, heading into the festive period and having some exercise on hand if we're not, you know, able to continue with our classes that we love so much. And you've got your online resources.
That's right.
And program.
So I have Fit and Fabulous Online, which is a Pilates-centric online membership. I create new classes and I put them on the website just about every other week these days. And there's a whole range of videos. There's a whole back catalogue as well, which people, all members, can just cherry pick from anytime they want to. And depending on what their body feels like, you know, there are most of the exercises tend to be more Pilates centric, which I think has an element of relaxation in it as well, and movement. But there are also some more vigorous workouts there, where, you know, they'll help you get your heart rate up as well. A lot of exercise that focus on strength and muscle strength, both using Pilates type props and also some dumbbells as well. So there's a whole range of videos there as well.
Thanks for sharing that, because I know myself, I keep pretty active obviously with my lifestyle and I love walking, but you know, sometimes I like to do an online class and just do something different to, as you said, work on a particular area of my body. I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm a bit, you know, tight in the shoulders, or I need to have a stretch, or I want to get my heart rate up, then it's really nice to be able to tap into online resources. So I'll make sure I share a link to your webpage so ladies can access that.
Thank you very much for that.
Yes. Well, thanks again, Angela, for joining me in this episode.
OK. Okay, thank you very much for having me again, and have a great day.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
The sun is shining. Let's get out there and enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks everyone for listening. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please feel free to share it with your friends and family on your social media pages. And I look forward to sharing with you again next week. You have been listening to the Eating For You podcast with Sally-Ann Pisk. If your current way of eating is not working for you, then join me in a free 15-minute mindful eating discovery call. If I can help you, I will provide you with a personalized tip to get you started with a way of eating that will bring lasting results for your weight and your health. And if I'm not the best person to help you, I will do my best to refer you on. The booking link is included with this episode's notes.